them. Let's believe with him. Amen. Let's experience God with him tonight.
Come on, continue that. I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, would you lift your hands and would you just magnify the Lord? Come on, he's a good father. He's a perfect savior. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. I tell you one thing, I'm glad. It's the greatest time to be the apostolic church that there has ever been. Right here in Sterling, Alaska, it is the greatest time it has ever been to be the one God apostolic people. Amen. Amen. The world is looking around. Politics has failed them. Republican, Democrat, and other. It has all failed them. Everything that they have put their trust in has failed them. And what a time to be the church of the Most High God, serving the one who has never failed and never lost. If there's ever been a good time to be apostolic, it's right here, right now. I'm glad to be a one God apostolic tonight. Oh, praise Jesus. Amen. I give honor to your pastor and your amazing pastor's wife, brother and sister Glover. Do you love your pastor and pastor's wife here tonight? Amen. The last time I had the blessed opportunity to be here, we went and had some of the best chowder I think I have ever had. And I almost bought a quilt while we were there as well. I don't remember where, but I started bidding on some quilts that were nailed to a wall, I think, before. And I just like quilts all of a sudden when I was there. I don't know. Maybe it's because I was cold in Alaska and felt like I needed an extra blanket. I'm not really sure. But I love this church, and I love your pastor and your pastor's wife. And it is an honor to be here tonight with my helpmeet and the greatest thing God has ever given me outside of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. And he said it right. I'm glad I married an Alaskan as well. If I ever get lost in the wilderness, I am counting on her, I promise you. Amen. We may both be in trouble, but amen. If you would turn with me to the book of Matthew, if you have your Bibles, the Lord has been building this in my spirit over the last month or so, and this is one of those that when he gave it to me, he said, you are to preach it everywhere you go. And I am here tonight to preach where I feel like we are at. Is that all right? And I feel like before we leave here, if you don't have the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in a new tongue, it is your night to receive the greatest gift you'll ever get. Ever. Amen. Amen. I love what they were singing. I'm going to sing a new song. When the children of Israel made their exodus out of Egypt and they came through the Red Sea, they stood on the other side and they sang the song of deliverance. They picked up their tambourines and they began to play the tambourines and sing the song of deliverance. Why? Because they used to be in bondage under Egypt and the Egyptian taskmaster, which is a type and shadow of the world, Pharaoh, type and shadow of the devil, and they were underneath the taskmasters of the world. But one day, a man came preaching a message of deliverance. And it is in the New Testament that we are told that they were baptized unto Moses' baptism, which is the cloud and the sea. But now we are baptized unto Christ. And the way you get baptized unto Christ, he made it very clear in John chapter 3, except the man be born again of water and of spirit, he shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Water birth is being baptized in the name of Jesus. He said, unless you are buried with Christ in baptism, that is the only way that you become a new creature in Christ. And then you are to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is how you are born of the Spirit. So if you're here tonight and you've never experienced that precious gift, your one moment of lifting your hands, repenting of your sins, and God will fill you with His Spirit. And if you're wondering why we're all waving our hands and being a little excited when we talk about that, is because we've all been filled with the Holy Ghost and we're glad about it here tonight. We sing our new song because we used to be in Egypt, but we came through the Red Sea and through the cloud, and now we're on the other side looking at our past saying it's washed under the waters of baptism and I'm filled with the Spirit of God. Is there anybody here that's thankful to have God's Spirit living on the inside of you? Amen, amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. Matthew chapter 14, we're going to begin reading in verse number 15. If you have it, say amen. If you don't, say a woman. I was just seeing who's listening. Ooh, I stirred the pot early tonight. I'm sorry. Amen. Bible says, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now. Pass in the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. That is to say, they need some dinner, or for anybody that's from the south, supper. There's a difference. Amen. Verse number 16, but Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and they took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave to his disciples. And then the disciples gave to the multitude. Verse number 20, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets. Full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides the women and children. They suggest there was somewhere around 30,000 there that day. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. Someone say the other side. There was revival waiting on the other side. But there was something that happened before. He sent the multitudes away. Now, evidently, the writer, needing to emphasize the importance of this sending away, gets a little repetitive in verse number 23 and says, when he had sent the multitude away, then Jesus went up apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Verse number 24, the last verse in your hearing. And the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves. Everybody read this last part with me. For the wind was contrary. For the next few moments, with the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to preach to us tonight on this subject, how to change the wind. Amen. Would you sit your Bibles down now, and would you just lift your hands, and could we ask that God would have His true will and His true way in this service tonight? Lord, I love You. I thank You for Your precious Word and the power that it possesses. I pray for a unique anointing to rest upon me tonight. Give me clarity of thought, God. Put Your words in my mouth that I may only preach and say what is the will of heaven here on earth tonight. I pray right now that we would take dominion over anything that would be a hindrance by the power of the Word of God and by the authority that is in the name of Jesus. I ask that the gifts of the Spirit would begin to flow in this service right now, God, that You would confirm Your Word with signs following, and that, Lord, before this service is over, God, that there would be miracles, signs, and wonders. Deliver somebody. Reveal to somebody where we're at. Show somebody where we're in this pivotal moment, God, as the Church of the Most High. Speak to Your people. Fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. We ask it all in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus. If you believe God's going to do something great for you tonight, would you clap your hands and would you shout with a voice of triumph? Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. I feel the Holy Ghost in here tonight. Just feel like anything can happen. Anybody feel that way tonight? Anything can happen. Woo! There's a great current of revival in this church. Amen. Amen. Before you're seated, turn to your neighbor and say, you look better than I do. Man. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I was just joking. I'm going to start with discord. Amen. Amen. Now everybody repent for your lying. We can't go any further. Everybody stop right. Praise God. I love this story and the beautiful setting of this amazing miracle. But even before you can get into what the author talks about as he puts this beautiful feeding of a great multitude from a very minimal amount that shouldn't have been possible, you first have to understand the setting of the miracle. Jesus had just gotten word that his cousin, the forerunner of the Messiah, the one that was prophesied about that there would be somebody in the wilderness crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. It was that man that stood before a wicked king by the name of Herod and told him in his wrongdoings. And through that, there was one by the name of Herodias that requested the head of the king. And Herod, in his haste, had to, by contract, because he made a vow to this woman, had to behead the prophet. And Jesus gets word that his cousin, this natural connection that they had, beyond the supernatural connection, it was that they were in they were relatives, they were friends, they were close, they grew up together. John, a very strange man, the one that was dressed in camel's hair, he ate locust and honey, he was an oddball, he was an outcast, but nevertheless, he was Jesus's family. And Jesus is on his way, the Bible says, to mourn the loss of his cousin. He was saddened by the news that John had died, but nevertheless, it was a necessary death, because John was the voice of what was coming, and Jesus was the fulfillment of what was here. I feel that we are coming to a time that we must understand that the voice of it is coming has to die. We can no longer be looking to the horizons of revival and say, it's coming, it's coming, it's on the horizon, it's coming. I feel, and I feel it in the spirit tonight, revival is here for this great church. There is a current of life. You are not having a revival on the way. You are revived. I feel a current of God's spirit. There's life in this building. There is a current and a flow that says, God is here to heal. God is here to feel. God is here to set somebody free. You feel it when you clap your hands right now. You feel it when you say hallelujah. We are a revived people. Revival's not coming. It is now. Revival's not tomorrow. It is. You can be healed tonight. You can be filled tonight. God can. Why? It's here. And so we as God's people must understand, as Jesus understood, he was headed to go mourn the loss of the voice of it is coming had just died, and on his way to mourn the loss of his cousin, his relative, he is on his way, and he sees a multitude. And in my text, the Bible says he was just moved with compassion, but the other gospel account of this says that he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. And the voice of the kingdom is here, cried out. And Jesus was moved on with compassion. We must pause here and realize that this city right now are as sheep having no shepherd. This city, Sterling, Alaska, is looking for somebody to have compassion for them, to have love for them, to be moved on with compassion, to tell them, we have your answer. We have what you're looking for. And as Jesus is on his way, he is moved on with compassion. And the Bible says he healed all their sick. He healed them. He stopped on his way to mourn, and he goes to lay hands on them. Maybe he laid hands on the leprous man. Maybe he laid hands on the brokenhearted, but he put them back together. He put the addict, and he said, you no longer have to be an addict. He took the woman that was struggling and said, you no longer have to struggle anymore. It was kingdom fulfillment that had to take place, and that's where we are at right now. It is no longer kingdom is coming. We must say now more than ever, kingdom is here. And he says that he healed their sick. And then the Bible goes on to say that it was evening. Maybe it was an entire day. It doesn't really specify, but now it was evening. And the disciple came to him, and he said, listen, he said, we don't have enough food to provide a meal for this great multitude. He said, even if we had 200 pence worth, he said, we could not fill them up. You've got to understand something. We are never going to have it all that we think we need to have to reach the people that we are going to reach. If you're waiting to have it all together, if you're waiting to have it all put together, if you're waiting to have every talent, if you're waiting to have all the money, if you're waiting to have the preaching ability, if you're waiting to have the teaching ability, if you're waiting to have the ability, you're never going to do what God wants you to do. You've got to realize He is the difference in this season. He's looking for a people that'll say, if you can use anything, Lord, use me. Use me. Use me. And the Bible says in the other account, I believe it's in John's account, he says, there is a lad. I love that statement. He says, there is yet a lad. There's one young man. Hear me. Whether you are a young man or you are an elder, God is just looking for somebody to yield what you have right now in this season. God is looking for somebody that he can bless, he can break, and he can multiply so that he can use for this end time revival that we are in. There is yet a lad. There's yet one young man. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's all he's got. Yep, that's all he's got. And Jesus, I see it as I'm saying it, draws a smirk up on his face. That's all I need. It is in the other account that it was 5 barley loaves. You've got to understand that barley is what the peasants would plant. It's what the poor folk would plant because they couldn't afford the wheat seed. They couldn't afford the expensive seed that the higher class could afford. God says, I'll use somebody that is just a lad, that is a peasant folk, that doesn't even have the high quality bread. You're in this place tonight, and you have sold yourself short from being used by God because you don't think you have everything you need to have. You don't have all the qualifications. God's not looking for qualification. God's looking for hunger and willingness. If you're here tonight and you're willing, you are the candidate for revival. If you're here tonight and you're willing, you are the catalyst to what God has been looking for to this city. God's just looking for somebody to say, I'll put it in your hands. Use me, God. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's all we got. Good. That's all I need. All God needs is what you do have. Hear me. All God needs is what. I feel a little bump in the Holy Ghost right there. We've got to get back to understanding. God bless what we have equals sufficiency for what the city needs.
I'm tired of a spirit of insecurity creeping into God's people, telling them, well, we don't look like the church down the road. We don't have all the money that the church down the road has. We don't have the big building, or we don't have the big this, or we don't have all of the programs, or we don't need all of that. You need the Acts 2:38 message. You need somebody that'll preach and declare holiness. You need somebody that'll stand and say, we still believe there's one God. We still believe you must be baptized in the name of Jesus. We still believe come out from the world and be separate. We still believe holiness. We still believe you don't look like Egypt. You don't walk like Egypt. You don't talk. This message is still enough. I said this message is still, I feel a boldness coming over me. This message is still enough. This Acts 2:38 message worked then and it'll work now. They got to praying in Topeka, Kansas. They just got to praying saying, the scripture says there's something more. The scripture says we've been lied to. The scripture says there's something else that we need. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost fell. And they couldn't help but believe what the word of God said. It went from there down to Azusa. What were they? They were just praying. There's something more. There's something else. And the Holy Ghost fell. Men started preaching one more time. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall be filled. Let the other churches have what they have. We have the message, and the message is the difference. Don't stop preaching the message. Thank you, Brother Glover, for being faithful to the message. Thank you, elders, for being faithful to the message. But how about a younger man or a younger lady in this room will tell your pastor and your pastor's wife, we're not going to let the message die now. We still believe the word. We still believe holiness. We still believe separation. We still believe... Amen. So he takes the five loaves and the two fishes, and he blesses, breaks, and then he multiplies. That is the process of multiplication. Bless, break, multiply. We like the stage of blessing, but nobody wants the breaking. But if you're going to go where God wants you to go, you've got to be able to be broken. You've got to be able to put on the will of the master potter. And you've got to let him work on you a little bit. You got to let him take out what doesn't need to be there. You got to let him put in what does need to be there. And it's in the blessing. We all like the blessing, but then there's a breaking. And after the breaking, there's the multiplication. And he said to them, he said, now give to the disciples. And the disciples will give to the people to be filled. That is the structure. You see, he said in John 7, he made it very clear what it, all of this was about. He said, you're following me because I filled you up. He said, you're following me because I filled your bellies. He said, but it wasn't ever really about that I filled you up. It was really about the miracles that I did, because the miracles proved that the Messiah is here. He said, I am the bread sent down from heaven. He said, and when you partake of me, you will never hunger again. See, it was really all about the understanding for the disciples that divinity has come to you so that now you can go to the people. God didn't give us this Holy Ghost for us to be stingy with it. God didn't give us this message for us to be hoarders of it. God gave us this message to reach some hungry, lost, broken sheep of Israel. He blessed them, he broke, and then he multiplied. The Bible says they ate until their bellies were full. Some 30,000 on the low side, scholars suggest he fed that day with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And watch, then there is 12 baskets left over. You see, you study the number 12. It comes, they say, from the two numbers 4 and 3. 4 means earth. 3 means divinity. See, you've got to understand everything God did was trying to tell his people, I am he sent from heaven. I am God manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seated and preached unto the Gentiles, received up. That's who I am. I am God. So he said, I'm giving you 12 baskets, disciples, so that you can understand one more time, divinity has now come to earth. Oh, Lord, have mercy. We've got to get back to understanding you've got the thing that makes the difference. And it is the revelation. The mighty God is Jesus. The Prince of Peace is he. The everlasting Father, King eternally, wonderful in wisdom, by whom all things are made. In Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead is displayed. I still believe it's all in him. I said it's all in him. He was... There's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, there's one God, Father of all, in you all, and through you all. He was God in flesh. He was Emmanuel, God with us. And so watch what he does with the representation of divinity. Gives it to the disciples and then puts them in a boat and says, head to revive. What a novel idea. There's people on the other side who need what's in the boat. There's people over there that's looking for what's in here. There's people out there that's looking for what's in here. They need the divinity I have equipped you with. So take it to the hungry. You watch, the Bible says when they got to the other side that they touched the hem of his garment, and everybody that touched the hem of his garment, they were all healed. You look at when the lady, the first one that ever touched the hem of his garment was the lady with the issue of blood. She reached up and touched the hem of his garment. Did you know that the hem of his garment actually represents the tzitzit? And the tzitzit comes from number 16. That is literally, they would be these fringes on the robe that represented the law and the word of God. That's why when the lady touched the hem of his garment, he didn't say who touched the hem. He said who touched me, because that was a representation of the word. And it is in John chapter 1 that he said, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This one God message is what they need. This Acts 2:38 message is what they need. They need to know their Savior. Oh, God, help us. So he gives them 12 baskets to show them divinity is with you. How do you know that's what he was trying to tell them? Because I believe it's in Mark 6 that Mark says they had forgotten the miracle of the loaves and the fishes because they hardened their heart. Think about that for just a second. They forgot that divinity was with them. They had the blessings of God all around them. And they were to go to revival with the miracles and the blessings of God equipped with them. By then, I'm sure everybody had heard of the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. If they'd have just showed up with the miracles in hand, Jesus did for me. Look what Jesus did. I believe that they could have caused the area wide revival. What a novel idea. So they're on their way to the other side, and watch, the scripture says a contrary wind holds them. I believe it's in John's record that he says they rode 20 or 30 furlongs. That is either 3.25 to 3.5 miles they rode into that sea. They're rowing all the effort they could have. And then all of a sudden, a storm shows up. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. A storm of the wind shows up. and the wind holds them and doesn't allow them to go forward. And we have come to a pivotal moment for the churches. All, hear me, I have been very, God has blessed me in allowing to travel our movement. And I'm seeing churches that feel as though they're caught in the wind. They're caught in the storm. And they feel like they're trying to row, but the wind stops them. They're trying to move forward, but the wind won't let them move. They're trying to go into harvest, but the wind won't let them go. The wind is contrary, and the Lord began to deal with me. The storm now is fear coming from the news outlets, fear coming from COVID, fear coming from the world. Hello, somebody. Let me tell you, my greatest battle right now behind the pulpits I stand in is the spirit of fear that is the twin sister to this virus. Fear telling you not to step out. Fear telling you not to believe. Fear telling you right now you are being bound by a spirit of fear that won't let you put your faith in to this service and buy into what God is trying to do for this body. But I've come today to tell you, perfect love casteth out all fear. God is love. You know what I pray for this service? Let love abound, because if his love shows up, fear's got to go. Would you worship the Lord for just a moment? Fear has gripped our churches. Fear has gripped us. Fear to step out. Fear to be used. Fear wondering what's going to happen. Fear is preached on NBC, Fox, CBS. Fear is preached on Facebook. Fear is preached on Instagram. Fear is preached from our peers. Fear is whoever will buy into it now is being gripped by the spirit of fear that is gripping our nation. And fear is causing agitation and irritation. So now we have an aggressive people. People that are always mad. People that are always angry. People that are always lashing out. They don't know why, but the church of the Most High God does know why. And if there's ever been a time for us to be the light while the world's in darkness, it's now. Hey, while Egypt was in the plagues, old Goshen, those Israelites, they were in Goshen in light. You see, there's an old Sunday school song that if you grew up going to Sunday school, you've heard, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Did you know light is the only thing that has the ability to tell darkness where to stop? So if you're truly the light that God has called you to be, and you have not put it under a bushel like Jesus said not to do, when you step into a dark covered world and they see you, they say, look at that light. Why are you happy while everybody else is in fear? Why do you have joy when everybody else has trepid? I'll tell you why. Let me tell you about a man who gave me a drink of some living water. Fear. You know what the Lord did with Gideon when he said, we're going to assemble a troop. Started with some 30,000 plus. The first weeding away was fearful. Have got to go home. Ask them who's fearful. God is assembling an army right now. Hear me in the Holy Ghost. He is assembling an army of apostolics that are willing to step out. But the first ones that get disqualified for his army are the ones that have allowed the spirit of fear to grip their hearts and their homes. So you better go home tonight, and you better speak Goshen over your house. You better speak Goshen over your babies that are going into the world. You better speak Goshen over your mind. You better speak, because while the world is in darkness, the church is radiating brighter than it's ever radiated. Oh, Rashataya la boho katala baha. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Somebody's walking out of this place understanding who you are. Somebody's leaving this place with the revelation of, I am the light in the midst of darkness. I am the city set upon the hill that cannot be hid. While the world's in fear, I'll be in faith. Would you lift your hands? I feel the presence of God. He's breaking through right now. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I feel the Holy, somebody's going to break out of fear tonight. Hear me in the name of the Lord. You will not go home to that spirit of depression. You will not go home to that oppressive junk that has held you down. I've come tonight to tell you, you're coming out. I said, you're coming out. You're coming out. Would you lift your hands? I feel the Holy Ghost. I may not go any further. We could stop right now, hear me, and somebody could get a miracle. I'm telling you what's in this house right now. The Lord is here to tell somebody. I feel it so strong. God is pausing this service right now to reach for somebody that is battling crippling depression. And it's been the darkness of the world that has held you down. But I've come tonight to tell you that if you have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you, you need to be reminded one more time. While the world is being plagued, Israel's always going to be in Goshen. I speak Goshen over this church tonight. I said, I speak Goshen over this body tonight. I speak Goshen over this assembly right now in the name of the Lord. Brother Glover, the Bible said that it was the fourth watch of the night when they saw Jesus come and walk into them. The fourth watch is the darkest point of the night if you study it. It was the darkest point of the night. It doesn't get any darker from right there. It can't get darker from the fourth watch. But watch when Jesus decides to make his great reveal while they're in darkness. And while the world is in the greatest darkness they have ever seen right now, you've got craziness going on in Afghanistan. You've got a president that won't stand up now, has the greatest superpower that the world has ever seen with military, and won't stand up to what's going on in Afghanistan, has crippled us. People are laughing at our nation right now, and our nation is saying, well, we can't trust our president. We put in a Democrat hoping that would work, and that didn't work. Well, if it would have been a Republican, then they would be saying, well, that didn't work because politics have failed them. And now we've got drug addicts saying, well, we can't go to the AA meeting because there's no funding. And we've got people, we don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. We don't know who to believe in. Darkness is crippling our nation. Darkness is crippling our world. But watch when Jesus comes walking on the water. You want to know why God is showing up in our churches like he hasn't in a long time? Because the world is in darkness, and it's time for us to realize he's going to walk on the worry of the church and the thing you're worrying about. Oh God, have mercy. It was the waves they were worried about, although it was the wind that caused the waves. You see, we get mad at the symptom instead of the issue. The real issue is sin. Can I just be real? The real issue of our world is not LGBTQ. It's not Republican, Democrat. It's sin. Because the spirit of the lawlessness has to be released at a rate it's never been released before. Because the lawless one isn't too far away. So they have to launch these programs and launch these laws. They have to allow certain things to come to pass because the lawless one is coming. But there's one coming before the lawless one. His name is Jesus. And while the world is in worry, the word of God, God is going to start walking to the church. He come walking on the waves of the water. And old Peter, I love Peter. If it's really you, Lord, bid me to come. Peter didn't walk on water. He walked on word. He walked on the spoken word. He walked on come. And when Peter come walking on the word is always going to work when it's mixed with faith. But watch, the Bible says Peter looked to the wind again and saw that it was boisterous, noisy, distracting. The world is distracting us in the church right now. It's learned it can't take our one God message. It's learned it can't take our holiness and separation. But what can it do? Distract us. It can put us on our phones more than in a prayer meeting. It can put us watching the news more than we're listening to the preaching, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. And if it can strip us from the word, it can build us with fear, because faith is always going to be the only thing that can stand against fear. So Peter, walking on word, got caught and distracted by wind and began to sink. And Jesus grabs him, brings him back to the boat. And I love this. The Bible says they all worshiped. For they realized, truly, this is the Son of God. It was the revelation of the storm. This really is God in the flesh. This really is Jesus. And in the storm, he revealed who he was. And watch, they all worshiped. But in another account of this very same text, it doesn't record the worship. It just says, and immediately when Jesus got in the boat, they were on the other side. You see, it was a contrary wind that held them where they were at. And so I was preaching in a city, and I was thinking on this text, and I felt the Lord speak to me and say, it was the worship that changed the wind. It was the worship that changed what was contrary to push them to where they needed to go. If we cannot get distracted in this moment right now, what we think is holding us back, when the church assembles and we just begin to worship, they that worship him in spirit and in truth, the Father seeketh such to worship him. And if he can find a true worshiper, if he can find somebody that'll say, I know who you are, I know what you're capable of, and you bow yourself in reverence in spite of the world, that which you feel is holding you back will shift and propel you where God was trying to get you to go in the first place. Everything God has been doing was for revelation for the church of who we are, how we're supposed to be used, and what we're supposed to be doing. Can I tell this great body something? On the first night of these series of services that God has ordained, I am here tonight to tell you the wind is changing for the apostolic church, and you've got to lay aside the fear. You've got to lay aside the trepidation. And you've just got to worship. But the world is in work. But the world is fretting. but the world is down. But I'm still going to sing a new song. You don't know what's going on in the world. I'm going to worship anyhow. You don't know what's going on. I'm going to worship anyhow. You don't know what. I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody ought to worship if you want the wind to change. The first thing Jesus told him, fear not, it is I. Fear not. Fear not, Sterling Pentecostal Church. Fear not. It's not time to worry. Will you worship with me, buddy? Will you come on? It's just time for us to worship. While the world is stressed out and the world doesn't know what. Me and my buddy here are just going to be in the house of God worshiping. But COVID Delta's here. Oh, well, we're still going to worship. We're still going to worship. If you worship, he'll change the wind. Come on, step out of your idol and worship. Step out of your fear and worship. Step out of your doubt and worship. Step out of your depression and worship. Come on, somebody needs to worship right now. Come on, this is your altar call. Worship. This is my beck. Just worship. Don't worry, just worship.